Welcome to Real Talk JavaScript, the weekly talk show that brings you stories of real-world development from industry experts and developers like you and me. Each week, Ward Bell, Dan Wallin, Craig Shoemaker, and John Papa find out what it takes to write, deploy, and maintain apps that stand up to the demands of the real world. And now, here are your hosts.
Welcome back, everybody, to episode 83 of Real Talk JavaScript. This week, it's John Papa, myself, and Craig Shoemaker.
That's
Craig
me.
The Shoe Shoemaker. Man, you got a great wrestling name, too, you know?
You think so?
I do.
I've never been fond of the Shoemaker last name, but...
No?
Nah, you know. I always said if I was going to have a stage name, it'd be something, like, cool.
Wasn't there a famous racing person who... Michael Schumacher?
Willie Shoemaker, he was a jockey.
Willie Shoemaker was a jockey, but there was also a racer, I thought.
Probably.
I don't know. Well, aren't you? What are you famous for?
A podcast.
On that note, Craig, you and I have both been playing with Svelte recently, right?
We have, yes.
What do you think so far?
I like it. I like the simplicity of it. I like the way that every time I learn a new framework or a new way of approaching JavaScript, it always changes the way you think about things. And that's really kind of what I like most about approaching these new technologies.
Craig Svelte Shoemaker. I like it. I like it. And this week we have on a great guest. We've searched high and low for somebody who's deployed an app with Svelte, and we found the master. Dominic, how are you doing today?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you.
Yes, Dominic Reitzner. And where are you from, Dominic?
I'm from the beautiful city of Vienna in Austria.
Oh, that is a beautiful city. I wish we could travel right now, you know?
You have to send pictures.
We could do that. We could post lots of pictures right inside the podcast. You can all hear them right now. So for folks out there who don't know Dominic, to get familiar with him, Dominic has a background in robotics and made a hobby of web development into his career. He currently works as a development lead and a front-end developer at Emakina CEE in Vienna. Did I say the company right, Dominic?
Yes, perfect.
Oh, good. I'm doing good today. I just can't pronounce Craig's name for some reason. So so tell us about it. Like, we wanted to talk about what it's like to do Svelte, but I'd love to start first with what did you actually build? What's this advent calendar? Is that what it
yes,
is?
Yes, an advent calendar. So like all the European listeners will probably know what it is. It's right before Christmas from the 1st until the 24th. We have, like, for little kids, usually a box filled with chocolates. And for each day leading up to Christmas, there's a little chocolate inside of it. So one of our clients wanted to have that advent calendar, like something like a lottery, leading up to Christmas and giving away some stuff.
You know, you're making me think of chocolate and Christmas, and those are two of my favorite things. So I'm all on board right now. We do an advent calendar in our house as well. Our kids, some years they get, instead of chocolates, they put like little mini Legos inside of the calendar boxes. Are you familiar with that, Craig or Dominic?
Yeah.
Yes. I had a lot of time that I spent as a teen.
We have the advent tree that has got bells on it. We write down an activity or something fun or a treat or whatever every day. And even my teenage kids still dance around singing advent tree all the time. So yeah, we're very familiar with that.
So this is an advent calendar that you did for a marketing site, or what was this? What was the business side of this?
The business side was actually to generate email subscriptions for the newsletter. And they had some folks in industry pay them to be advertised as like giving away gifts. And yeah.
Okay.
Through that advent calendar, they generate a lot of newsletter subscription each year. So that really helps them out.
Oh, I bet. And I can imagine the advent calendar, I mean, creating a calendar in JavaScript is always fun. You get to play with layout and a lot of cool different features. I assume you built your own, right?
Yes. I actually used CSS Grid. And
oh, cool.
Also with the legacy fallback for IE11.
Oh, nice.
So
IE11.
Yes, I know.
What was it about Svelte that drew you to using this framework versus something else for this project?
So what made me choose Svelte was the simplicity of the syntax and the separation of concerns, and also that the application that gets shipped to the client is really, really small because the framework does not need to be included in the package.
Interesting. Okay. So as you're talking about simplicity, if someone were coming from like an Angular or React sort of background, can you point to just like one or two things that you're doing in Svelte that might be a lot easier than if you were trying to do it in one of those other frameworks?
One of the things that is kind of missing when you do Svelte is the boilerplate that you have to do, for example, with React and
so Angular. You missed all that boilerplate, huh?
Yeah, I'm really missing it. Like just a script tag, some HTML, and a style tag, and nothing else really.
You said some really, really interesting things already that I definitely want to pull on some of these threads with you.
Yes.
For example, you mentioned there's no framework that goes to the browser. We definitely want to talk about that piece. Mm-hmm. And of course, the less boilerplate. Let's start with the less boilerplate side. Like, why is there less boilerplate in Svelte? What is it about it versus React or Angular, for example?
The reason why there's a lot less boilerplate is because Svelte itself is a compiler. And before you ship the application, it runs through the whole application that you built and squishes it together as one solid block. So the compilation or the work of the framework happens on your local machine or in the build process in the cloud.
Whereas with, and correct me if I'm wrong, with React, Angular, Vue, et cetera, some of that stuff happens during the build, but there is still a remnant of Vue, React, Angular that goes to the browser
exactly.
As well.
Yes.
Okay.
And so to clarify, is this using Webpack or is it using something else?
You can use it with Webpack, but the official build is using Rollup. So it was my first project using Svelte and my first project using Rollup.
Let's take a quick break from a word from our sponsors.
Hey, are you building apps in React, Angular, Node, or some other framework? Well, with NX, you can build your full stack apps in a shared mono repo, integrate with modern tools, and reinforce best practices. You'll get advanced code generation and automatically configured tooling like Cypress, Jest, and Prettier that will simplify your workflow. NX also helps you simplify the relationships between applications and shared libraries to make it easier to share more code and develop more consistently across teams. And the best part is, you'll build higher quality apps and spend less time on configuration. So visit nx.dev to get Narwhal's popular open source toolkit for monorepo development today.
And we're back. And we were just talking about Webpack and fruit rollups. I mean, just rollup JS. You know, today it almost seems ubiquitous where everybody's using Webpack, Angular, Vue, React, other places. And you can use Webpack with Svelte, but I kind of lean towards where you're coming from, Dominic. When I started using Svelte, I found it interesting they were using Rollup. I'd used it in the past, but not for anything major. But I found it fascinating that all the documentation kind of starts you out with, start here with Rollup. Did you find that to be complicated, easy? I mean, what was your experience using Rollup and how do you like it?
To get started off, it's really easy because in the boilerplate project that you get when you start off, like there's everything that you need to start it off. And then like if you want to go down into the nitty-gritties later on, there's some tinkering that you have to do. But from my experience, it is a lot easier to tinker with those little things in Rollup than it would be with Rollup.
Than it would be with Webpack, you mean?
Oh, yeah. Rollup and with Webpack, sorry.
No worries. We're listening, see? So, yeah, I found Rollup to be an interesting choice, but I didn't find any bad sides to it, meaning I was able to do everything I needed to do. It built the app, everything worked. I think in the end, you really just, to be honest, I really just want a tool that's going to bundle my code. I don't want to be playing with Rollup, and I don't want to be playing with Webpack.
Yeah.
I mean, want the tool to just work.
I mean, some of the stuff, I didn't find any plugins for Rollup. for the things that I needed. So I had to write some little functions myself, and it, to my surprise, worked really well.
Do you think that's because Webpack is just so well used in the community, and Roll-Up maybe isn't as well used, or?
That could be, or my use case could also have been very specific.
Okay. Yeah, because I think, I mean, Roll-Up's been around, so I imagine there's got to be a pretty good ecosystem with it. I'm not nearly as familiar with that one as I am with Webpack, but can you explain what your use case was?
My use case was because I had to support IE11, and I wanted to ship ES6 plus code to modern browsers, so I kind of split my build, and for that I needed to replace the like the file name plus its hash for caching reasons inside of the index HTML.
Right.
So, yeah, and I needed to replace it in many different spaces, and there was no plugin that could do multiple replacements.
Yeah, and these are things like changing the file names, creating hashes, also just using what do they call it in Vue? Like modern mode, I think they call it, where, and in Angular does it as well. They create modern bundles and they create the legacy bundles. I'm calling it legacy. The browser can do it. All that stuff's kind of baked into the CLIs, those tools, which kind of brings me to the biggest question I have for you. I found it a little bit disturbing or off-putting when I first started with Svelte. And I'm talking, you know, my first day with Svelte was 4 hours. And within the first 5 minutes, I'm like, there's no CLI. What do I do? And there was this moment of panic, like in 5 minutes in, and I'm like, oh my gosh.
Where's my guardrails?
You know, and then, you know, my dog's like, okay, it's going to be okay, John. I'll lick your hand while you figure this out. And, how was that for you? Coming from a world where CLIs are so common, was it? Did you find it easy to not deal with the CLI, or did you find yourself wanting one?
It was pretty easy because the way you set up your components is just by file names. So there's no special need to generate, like, for example, in Angular, it generates all those different files for you. If you make a new component, you have all of that stuff inside of one file inside of Svelte. So you
because a lot of those CLIs will generate files. But what about the build process, though? Because a lot of the CLIs will do that, like the things that you had to find plugins for, like React and Angular and Vue will just do that for you. And you kind of had to build that yourself in Svelte. Do you feel like if there was a CLI there that, you know, was that a missing piece for you?
Not really, because like I said in the beginning, the setup for most of the stuff was already there. I just had to do, like, the only thing that I was missing was the index, like in replacing the hashes and then also, there was a plugin for that, but, well, ES6 was actually really easy because I just added inside of my build command, I added the CLI for Babel, so.
Yeah, and to be fair, I'm saying it was hard for me because, honestly, for the first 5-10 minutes, I was kind of freaking out, like, why? How can they not have one? But then once I realized the kind of their model for the folks who aren't familiar with Svelte. When you get into Svelte on their main homepage, and I put the links into the notes, their basic thing is you use this tool called dgit, which effectively pulls down another GitHub repo as a template to your local folder. That's why you're dgit. So you use this tool to pull it down, and it gives you a starting point for your entire app, which is effectively the same thing as generating an app from a CLI. You're just pulling it out of a template instead. And then at that point, you just run NPM scripts and you're off to the races with Roll-Up. It was different for me, but I didn't find it, once I realized that, I didn't find it uncomfortable, I guess.
Yeah, as soon as you know what to do, it's actually pretty easy because it's a lot less that you have to do to get some new component. So,
right.
you don't have to memorize all those commands. You just create a new file and you're done with it.
Well, let's dive into Svelte itself. Like we talked about the setup process and the builds and kind of what it gets you for. And you said how you, when you build for the browser, it just sends your JavaScript up there. There's no Svelte left. What's it like developing with Svelte?
Well, one of the things that really intrigued me and let me choose it was they use the label functionality that's kind of unused inside of JavaScript, where they have, I think they call it reactive declarations, where you can have a value react to dependent values. So you can kind of build a chain that when one variable changes, it passes down through all of it automatically and you don't have to do anything. A good example would be for displaying error messages and to see if for example, the checkbox for I want to subscribe to the newsletter is checked, then I have my form values and have some function running through those form values. And it automatically updates the state for my is newsletter checked variable as soon as I update something.
Yeah. So what I was just curious about when you're talking about the flow and how things update. So in thinking about Angular and React, that we have change detection and the way we're updating the UI. And so we don't have this whole framework existing in order to do that. How does Svelte handle that? So just kind of in terms of maybe a really simple app that people might be used to building for one of these other frameworks, how could you describe the same way it would work within Svelte?
Svelte has a lot of helper functions kind of baked in. And as soon as you use something, they get added to your package in a, on a very granular level. So for example, if you use the declarative, the reactive declaration, then this little piece of the framework gets pulled in as a helper function, which wraps around your code, if you want to describe it that way. In Angular, I think you could describe it as doing a watcher and then running some code afterwards. But it's like what I can write in one line very descriptively in Svelte would take me 4 to 5 lines in Angular, for example.
Gotcha. Okay. So it takes what you write, it kind of wraps it up in its own, I don't know if component is the right word, but adds the extra functionality to it based off of essentially what is raw JavaScript, right?
Exactly, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I found what seems to me is when I took a Angular, React, and a Vue app and I made a Svelte version of it. And again, it's my first app building with Svelte and it's not a production app, to be very clear. I've not shipped one to production. But looking through the syntax, I was able to find everything I could do in the other three frameworks I was able to do in Svelte, which first of all was very heartening for me because that's the first thing I look for when looking at a tool. Am I going to run into a wall somewhere where, you know, I can't take this and actually use it? And I didn't hit that, at least yet. Again, I haven't gone to production yet. The thing I found really that I liked about it was I felt like I was writing less code with Svelte than I was with any of the other frameworks. Is that kind of how you felt too?
Yeah, that is definitely how I feel. It's like because you don't have to wrap your stuff in boilerplate, you are reducing the lines of code that you actually write, and the compiler takes care of the rest.
It feels like there's more of a direct line between, I don't know if this is the right way to say it, but your variables, your data, and the DOM. Like you're updating your variables, and then it knows how to update the DOM from there.
Yes, exactly. So you don't have to do any manual hacking or any following up on when you change a variable. It just works updating the DOM, and it works actually pretty fast. And if you want to, even with transitions and animations.
There's even some nice things I found inside of Svelte. For example, I was doing a loop because I was printing out a list of customers, heroes, whatever. And doing the loop, basically, first thing I noticed in Svelte, by the way, and these are the weird things you notice when you're first going through it, is instead of using double curly braces, they use single curly braces.
Yeah, I think they used to use double curly braces in version 2.
In version 2?
They switched away from it.
And 3 is the current version right now.
3 is the current version, yes.
Okay, cool. Thanks for clarifying. Yeah, and in the each statement, effectively the keywords inside of your HTML and your template are designated with this hash sign. So it's a hash each, or a, you know, pound sign each, whatever you want to call it. And so I say each heroes, and then I can kind of use destructuring to then say, give me just these properties out of my customer or heroes. So just give me the ID, the name, the description, as opposed to having to inside, what this is great is inside my loop, I no longer have to say hero.name, hero.description. I can just say description, name, ID. So even things like that, it was really nice to not have to constantly type the full object path for things. Because Svelte had a really nice syntax to kind of dot into things.
Yeah, this, the same way also works, like the opposite way. If you bind a property to a component that you have, you can also leave out the name, for example, if you have like a property on your component that's called validation, and then you have an object or function or whatever that is called validation, you just do the curly braces and inside validation, and you don't need to do validation equals validation.
Right, exactly. That was really nice because I found myself binding, let's say, a property called name in a component to a model called name. And instead of saying name equals name, it's smart, just like JavaScript, and you can just say name.
Exactly, and it works.
Yeah, it's just, Craig, going back to your point, it just feels like it's closer to JavaScript and the DOM. And if anybody knows about the DOM, Craig, you should know, because you have a major course here putting together, aren't you, on HTML and the DOM, aren't you?
Working through it right now, yeah.
Craig's awfully modest, but he's putting together the flagship course for Pluralsight on getting started with HTML and CSS and all the fun stuff getting started with the web. So
yeah,
who knows?
Nice, yeah.
He's the guy I go to, by the way, Dominic. Anytime I'm like, oh my gosh, I wish there was an event or a property in HTML that does this. And he's like, John. He's my Mozilla article. So, oh my gosh. So after building so much of this, like, and people can go check out the syntax on svelte.dev. We put that note in there too. But after building this app and deploying it to the website, I want to circle back to your comment earlier about how once Rollup builds it, there's no Svelte that actually goes to your browser. There's just your code in a bundle. That's a complete deviation from what React, Vue, and Angular have done. So can you kind of talk about that a little and what that was like?
Yes, of course. With Angular, they're working on that to kind of catch up to that. Like to just mention that in the beginning, they built this Ivy compiler,
the Ivy compiler,
and
yep.
They try to attempt the same thing. They're not in that granular level yet, but they're working towards that as well. So for me, with doing that with Svelte, it felt really, really amazing and liberating because the bundle size from what I would expect usually when building an app, it was really so small, and like I didn't have to do optimizations to get a good and smooth experience even on low-end mobile devices. So that was kind of crazy for me to see that I did not have to look, okay, where do I optimize? Where do I kick out some code or remove some two-way bindings that are not necessary. So that was one of my highlights in just building it and shipping it the way I wrote it.
I was just saying, have you looked at the bundle that it generates? And I know it's obviously minified and all that, but do you know what the secret sauce is? Like, what are they doing that's so special to create this magic?
So they built that framework in such a way that you just you use a little bit of that framework. They include only that little bit inside of the bundle. So they build it in such a granular way, and I think that reduces the bundle size so drastically compared to other frameworks.
You know, I like that because there's times when I'm using some of the other frameworks, I pull in a feature and I start realizing that once I pull that feature in, I now have, there's a fixed cost to it.
Yes.
So let's say it's 50K, I don't know, in file size. And let's say it's also a little bit of speed too. I don't know how much, but once you use a specific feature, maybe in these other frameworks, it pulls in more weight because it's using that. The upside to that though is if I found that if I build like a 1,000 component app and it's reusing that feature a lot, that weight kind of gets, that fixed cost doesn't really matter because it's actually making it back as I expand my app. Now, I haven't built a 1,000 component app in Svelte yet. I have built a 30 component app in it. And one thing I did notice is while my 30 component app started, sorry, my 5 component app started out at 3K, which is just incredibly crazy. You know, it's like, wait a minute, did I do something wrong? Which is just, it's like literally like 30 times smaller than Vue React or Angular. I've got a Hello World app, which is 3K in Svelte, 93K in Vue, 133 in React, and 143 in Angular. And those numbers may be off for what you do, but you can just tell Svelte stuck out like a sore thumb. But once I made it a 30 component app, the numbers changed, and Svelte was no longer the smallest. It was actually the third large. It was third in the list. Mm-hmm. Vue and React were actually smaller, not by a lot, but I don't understand. I don't know what's happening, but I can only make guesses. Have you experienced anything like this?
Well, as my app that I built was like has 11 to 12 components only, I haven't reached that bigger size yet. So
nor have I, and I wouldn't make any judgments based on what I'm saying yet, to be very clear to people.
But I've heard that like if you build bigger apps with Svelte, depending on what you use, it can be bigger, of course.
And I'm making a lot of guesses here, to be very clear to everybody in the audience. But I'm guessing what's happening is that because Vue, React, and Angular do kind of have some of that, they have some of those features that help you build larger apps baked in, and you get the fixed cost. It's why they don't start off 3K like Svelte does.
Yeah.
Svelte doesn't have that, so therefore there's probably a lot of repetitive stuff that it has to do. I'm imagining it's creating a lot of DOM logic to, you know, create the component, create the elements, attach it to the DOM over and over again. But I don't know that for sure.
They have to do a little part. They have, like for creating DOM elements, they have their helper functions, of course, like the bigger frameworks like Angular and React. But the one thing that they do not do is using the shadow DOM. So they do a direct manipulation of the DOM. And so even if the app might be a little bit bigger, and I'm not certain, it might be even like faster in execution because it's missing the transition from, okay, I'm doing my JavaScript operation, then doing my diffing for the shadow DOM and then applying the changes to the DOM. There are just a lot of little bindings inside of the DOM to certain elements that only get updated when value changes that the DOM element depends on.
And I'll tell you, I want to make a disclaimer too. I appreciate where you're going with this because
yes,
one thing I want everybody to understand is that we all tend to hear about file size a lot, and there's a lot of places file size doesn't matter. And I might get hit by people for saying this, but I know lots of companies who build web apps internally, and they're only running internally on super fast gigabit plus networks, and they load them once a day. They load that Angular, Vue, React app once a day, or Svelte. And whether it takes 10 milliseconds to load, or it takes 2 seconds, or 5 seconds, once it's loaded and it's all fast. So in some cases, file size actually doesn't matter. Now, once you go to the web or mobile or lots of other places, it absolutely matters. But it is important to at least understand what Svelte is doing, because if you need it to, I mean, to me, it seemed perfect. And tell me here, you're building an advent calendar. I'll bet you that whole thing was extremely small when you deployed that.
It was like 60K with, like, I even had to connect to like an external API. So I built a service for that inside of Svelte. And then I had to connect to CMS for retrieving the data for that advent calendar. And I also had to build that functionality myself. So all in all, I was, I think, around 60 kilobytes.
You made me really think something else too. So you did an API. Now, I was first going to say you probably used the Fetch API, but you have to support IE11.
I used Fetch, and I only shipped the polyfills to Svelte with the module, no module syntax.
Okay. Yeah, because for a lot of people out there, for the Fetch API, I think it's supported in all major browsers now. A quick look on
canies.com
will help
us.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah.
But older browsers like the IE ones, I don't think so.
Yeah, they're going to struggle with that.
And you could have used Axios or something like that, but that would have added additional weight to the Svelte app instead of doing a polyfill, for example. But that would have made an additional weight to everybody instead of just the IE11 ones, right?
Exactly. I tried to like burden only legacy browsers if possible.
Gotcha. 60K. Wow.
Yeah, that's with animations too.
Is this something public that you could actually put a link to in the show notes?
It was public, but like at the end of Christmas, they pulled it because it kind of still is working and the APIs were still exposed. So, yeah.
No worries. Let's take a quick break from our word from our sponsors. Hey, Ward, you know, I was building an application the other day and I pulled in this really cool UI component, but it brought along a lot of dependencies with it. How do you deal with that?
I don't like that, John. It reminds me that the AG Grid, which is an advanced editable data table that we use in a lot of our enterprise apps because it addresses the complex scenarios we encounter. AG Grid doesn't have any dependencies at all.
Zero dependencies. Well, tell me, why is that good? Like, what is the value of having zero dependencies?
Well, it's wonderful not having to wonder if while I'm pulling that in, I'm also pulling jQuery in or Lodash or who knows what. In part because that's extra stuff coming over the wire. It's extra files that I don't know what they're all about. It means when my client security team has to evaluate this, they're evaluating AG Grid and not everything else that might be slipping in under the covers or something that we have to worry about there.
You know, it's great to see this day and age, you can have a zero dependency library that does something like complex data grid functionality. So all of you out there, do check out AG Grid at their website at ag-grid.com. And we're back.
So, Dominic, one of the things I wanted to ask you, we've talked about it a little bit, there not being a CLI, some things could be different than what we might be used to in other frameworks. Like, where do you see the rough edges being? And also, what would prevent someone from wanting to use this in production or maybe a larger app? Or like, what's the current state at?
Well, the current state is that it's really good for like one pagers, like a marketing page that I built. But like for bigger applications, you're missing some of the features that are baked into Angular, React, or Vue. For example, you do not really have access to a router, for example. There is a project called Zapper that is built on top of Svelte, but it's, in my opinion, is not really there yet for bigger applications. I mean, they should work. You might have fun with it, but you might have a lot of troubles going through because it's not that
Is it just not flexible?
It is flexible enough, but it's not as baked as some of the other frameworks that are out there.
Okay.
Yeah, I felt like the ecosystem was the place. I value the ecosystems of these frameworks a lot. There's a lot of great open source people out there willing to talk about Angular, React, Vue, Svelte. But I felt in the ecosystem of Svelte, it's there, which is great, but it wasn't always clear what the right choice was when I wanted to extend the basic features of Svelte. Let me give you an example. A simple one is Axios versus Fetch. Should I use Axios? Should I use Fetch? It doesn't really matter, and there's only two there. So, you know, use Fetch if you can, if you don't have to worry about older browsers. You could use Axios if you don't have to worry about polyfills. You know,
yeah.
You decided Fetch with polyfill.
I mean, as the default bundle is ES6, they kind of lean towards Fetch because they exclude IE11 with their bundle. Like, you have to do your own bubble thing and your own bundle bubble configuration if you want to support older browsers.
And it kind of follows, I agree, and it kind of follows the philosophy of and the culture of Svelte, which is just use what's native to the browser.
Yes, exactly.
Already. The downside there is, and this isn't really a downside, but then I started thinking, if I was going to build, remember, I like to build lots of big apps. My life has been surrounded with these massive apps with millions of users. And I'm thinking, if I want HTTP interceptors, and I want to pad headers, and I want to do all this great stuff, Axios has that. Whereas with Fetch, I'd have to kind of build my own stuff on top of it. So I don't know where I'd go if I was doing that, but it made a question in my mind, and that's where, looking at the community, I didn't see a lot of great places to know, like, where do I find my answers? Where did you find your answers building your app?
Where I had questions, I found on the Discord channel. They have a very active community, and a lot of problems got solved through them. And when I have time, I'm also on there and helping other people, like I was helped building their app.
Yeah, you're right. The Discord channel's been really nice. They have a nice one that you can join for the community. And I don't have the link to it handy. Maybe we can pop it in the show notes, though, so people can find that. I happen to also go down the road of, I want a router. And I'll tell you my journey real quick. And I'm actually writing a blog post about this. First thing is, like, I did the main Svelte app on their homepage, which is great. It's a great little tutorial. And then I said, now I want to add routes so I can have different pages in my app. And immediately they're like, go use Sapper. I'm like, what's a Sapper? So then I go to another page. I'm like, okay, Sapper looks like Svelte, the web page. So it must be by the same people, which was a good guess. And then I start looking at it. I go, okay, this is like server-side rendered pages. That's cool. Kind of like Nuxt or Next is the way I was relating it. But then I came into a, wait a minute. I just learned Svelte. That was easy. Now I got to learn the Sapper thing. And my first roadblock was basically, and it doesn't say it in these words, but basically I had to start a project with Sapper now and not use the app I'd already created in Svelte to add routing.
Exactly.
I was like, wait a minute. I just built my first app and now you're telling me to throw it away and build another app?
Well, you can use a lot of stuff and translate it into a separate app, but it has some nuances that are different.
Which is fair, because Nuxt and Next have the same kind of thing too. But then I said, you know, because I wanted to be stubborn, I don't want server-side. I wanted to find just a regular client-side router. I found 12 of them. A friend of mine happens to know one of the members of the core team, looking up his name real quick, Luca Bonavita. Uh-huh. And Luca was amazing. He did some Twitter DMs with me real quick because at the time I didn't know about Discord. And he pointed to me in a couple right directions at a couple of the leading routers. And at this point, I had tried all 12 of them and I had narrowed it down to two that I thought had all the features I wanted. But this was, of the first 4 hours of my Svelte experience, this is how amazing the pros and the cons. The first half hour, I had an app running.
Yeah.
The next 3.5 hours were me playing with 12 router libraries. So this is where I say the ecosystem, it would be great if there was, like, you know, use Sapper for server side, use router X for client side if you wanted to go there.
Yeah.
You know, so I've let my laundry out to everybody here. That was my In the end, you're looking at it going, John, it took you 4 hours to learn an entire new framework to build an app. I don't know. Just so freaking fast. It's unbelievable. Like, I can't remember anything I've learned. I didn't learn React, Vue, or Angular in 4 hours. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to go through the tutorial, like to give the listeners an idea, is you can work through the tutorial in about an hour, I think. And then you know everything that there is to know about Svelte.
And they're nice. Like all these modern ones, they have like a REPL that you can online as you're going through the tutorial. So you don't even have to build the app locally if you don't want to. You can go through their docs and just try it out in the REPL right online.
And the link to that tutorial is, I just put it in the chat, so we'll have it in the show notes for people to find easily.
Thank you, Craig. So there's so much greatness here that I find with Svelte. I found it extremely promising. I'm very high on it. Very excited. I was able to build, like I said, an app that compared to my Vue, React, Angular apps. I'll give you another positive. I do a lot of data analysis. And one of the things I like to look at is when people say file size is important, I say no. I say it's how much you type. And not even just letters. Because we have tools that help us like do autocomplete and things like that. But when I'm typing out my files, get this. The same exact Hello World apps in Angular, React, Vue, and Svelte. The number of words I had to type for the Svelte app, 27. 27. And I got Hello World up and running. Now, React was 37, Vue was 40, and Angular was 89. So none of them are big, but I just, again, Hello World app. I mean, you can see right there. And then if you go to bytes, the 200 bytes for Svelte, and then it went to 300, 310, and 880. So I'll let you guess which ones those were, because I'll put this all in the article later. And none of this is scientific. It's just me looking at the app that I happen to build. But I liked it. It felt good. And it did everything I wanted. The next test is, Dominic.
Yes.
I want you to go build a massive app that runs the entire World Health Organization's COVID-19 coronavirus response with 5 billion people using it, and do that in Svelte and come back and tell us next episode how that goes.
I think there is already something out there that's doing that with the data for the US, and I think they use it in the New York Times for displaying their graphs, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, is that what they're using? They're using Svelte to do that?
Yeah, I mean, the creator of Svelte is working at the New York Times.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I've seen that. That's that animation of the COVID, the coronavirus
exactly,
spreading.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that was made with Svelte. That's awesome. We'll try to find a link for that too here, folks, because if you haven't seen it, it's really cool. And Dominic, thanks for coming on the show. I want to make sure that we get a chance to get any final thoughts out to our listeners as well on this topic of Svelte to be great, or anything that you've been working with lately. And I'd like to give a chance to everybody to do that. Craig, what is your final thought for our listeners?
My final thought is something that's not, it's not like super exciting or anything, but really useful. And it's actually two things. So number one, if you haven't had a chance to check out template repos in GitHub, they can be really helpful for learning. And we already mentioned the other one here in the context of Svelte, and that's dgit. And you first pointed that out to me, and it's just a great way in order to share your code and get people up and running quickly.
That's D-E-G-I-T, that dgit?
Yes.
Dgit?
Dgit.
Dgit? Is it a soft G or a hard G, Craig?
I'm guessing since it's Git, it's probably got to be hard G. But it's NPM package and just D-E-G-I-T.
Awesome. And we'll put a link to that in the show notes too. Dominic, what's your final thought for our listeners?
My final thought is, like, I would recommend everyone who has spare time on their GPUs to support the fight against Corona and do some folding at home. The power that they currently have is up there with the 7 most powerful supercomputers at the moment. So if you want to support the fight against coronavirus, that would be awesome.
My final thought for folks, I've added the link to the New York Times article where Svelte might be there, and also to try Svelte out try Vue, Angular, and React as well. So whatever you've been using, I find it really valuable to understand and learn the different technologies. And you don't need to build a massive app, but build a small, simple app in each one of them and kind of see if you can get the experience of them. I found it's helped me be a better programmer overall to understand how these different approaches work. And one final thought, I think it'd be a disservice if we didn't mention Rich Harris. I assume he's the one you were mentioning as yes. the working in New York Times, the founder or co-founder of Svelte?
Founder of Svelte.
Founder. I don't know Rich personally, but I follow him on Twitter, and we'll try to get him on the show one of these days, see if we can do that, because I find it amazing that people create frameworks still. And to get pick up on a framework like this, like he has done with Svelte, I think it deserves a lot of kudos. Well, thank you very much, Dominic, for coming on, and I'd love to invite you back after you've built more apps in Svelte, and you can tell us how that goes. Would you be interested in that?
Yeah, I'd love to.
That'd be awesome. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to us yet another week, and you'll hear from us every Tuesday morning.
Thanks for listening to Real Talk JavaScript. This show and all of our shows are available at www.realtalkjs.com with links and notes. John and Ward would love to hear what you think, especially about potential guests and topics for future shows. Follow and send them a message on Twitter at RealTalkJS.